Right now, let's talk about a new book out called The Storm Over Paris, How the Nazis Stole Art and Valuables from Citizens of Europe During World War II is kind of well known. But what if a Jewish art dealer turned the tables on Hitler's regime and risked everything to get some famous paintings back? That is the plot of the new book, The Storm Over Paris. We have its author with us, William Grubman. Good morning, William. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right. So what made this the topic of your thriller? Why did you think, I've got to delve into this topic and create a story for
it? It was actually by accident, really. I was working on a project that was going to deal with art forgery, and I wasn't happy with the way it was going, and all of a sudden I discovered that what would happen if I went back and I involved one plot with another plot and sort of combined the two? And what if I combined my plot to steal art with Hitler's plot to steal art? And that's where The Storm Over Paris came from.
You know, art theft always makes for good intrigue. I mean, that's sort of something, you know, it's a piece of art that either gets forged or stolen and it's well protected. What research did you do related to taking this back to the time of the Nazis and how they kind of were taking art from not only the museums but from individuals?
Well, what I had to do was really research World War II first and the Nazi invasion into Paris, and then find out exactly what were they doing with the artwork in Paris, where was it going, how were they sorting it, etc., etc. And then I needed to figure out a way for my story to meld within their story.
Were they using this as some sort of funding for something? Was it used for personal gain? What was the purpose for them to do that?
Hitler's plan was to build a museum in Austria, and they felt they could stock the best art in the world out of Paris. So they first started stealing art from Jewish families, and then just started stealing art, period.
Was there any attempt there to kind of erase history, if you will?
On my end or on the Nazis' end?
On the Nazis' end.
No, I don't think so. I think these were the spoils of war. They had invaded a country, and, you know, we'll take what we want for ourselves.
So tell us about this art dealer, Maury Rothstein. Who is he in your mind, and what drove him to do this?
Well, what I wanted to do was create a story and show the personal side of people rather than the war side of people. And Maury's a Jewish art dealer in Paris, very well respected around the world. And he's on everybody's radar when it comes to, you know, is this a good painting? Is this something we want to invest in, et cetera, museums? And on the radar for Maury was also Hermann Göring. And Hermann Göring decides he wants Maury to evaluate the art that they're taking and separate the very finest pieces from the pieces that are, you know, not as fine. So you can have a Monet on one side of the room, and you can have a Monet on the other side of the room, and one Monet can be an example of his finest work, and the other one can be a lesser example. That was the job of Maury. And Maury starts this sort of unusual relationship with Göring, a relationship of mutual respect, yet of contempt at the same time. And Maury decides when he starts to see paintings that he sold to clients arrive for inspection, he decides he wants to try to preserve those paintings, at least for the people that he had sold them to.
Talking this morning with William Grubman, who has written the book of The Storm Over Paris. During your research, what are some of the interesting things maybe you discovered or thought, I never knew this before?
Well, I needed a hiding place for my art. I needed a place where Maury could actually hide the art once he got it. No place was safe, and that required actually a trip to Paris. I had to get on my feet and start looking around. Where could he hide a piece of art? And I found the absolute perfect hiding place in a park.
So you had an excuse to go to Paris.
I did. I spent quite a bit of time on the ground.
And you do a lot of other things besides write. What drove you to make, you know, to sit down? Because sometimes artists are a little more impatient, I guess, but be able to sit and write for that long a period of time.
Well, it happened over a period of time. It took me 3.5 years to get the project completed. And it was, of the 3.5 years, at least 2 years was research into the art pieces, what was stolen, what wasn't stolen, when it was stolen, where did it go, et cetera, et cetera.
We still see news stories occasionally of Jewish families who know that this piece belonged to them, but yet because of certain reasons they don't have it back or whatever. What kind of personal stories did you kind of come up with or through this research related to that?
Nothing really personal, but I did discover that there are several paintings in the possession of the Louvre at this time, which in fact do not belong to the Louvre. And they acknowledge they don't belong to them, but they don't know exactly where they go. But there are paintings that are really not part of their acquired collection, but more a collection they wound up with after the war. When it was time to give all these paintings back to their owners, a lot of the owners were deceased and there were no relatives for them.
If someone actually had done something like this at that time, how do you think things maybe would have changed at all? Because this is all things we find out after the fact of what was being done, sort of.
I think this is something on a very small scale compared to the larger scale, rescues by people during the war, people who helped other people escape, etc. So I look at this as something minor, yet I wanted to write a story that could keep my reader on the edge of their seat for the entire book, so I wrote it as a thriller.
Again, it's a historical thriller, so there's parts of it that says, no, this is fictional, and then there's another part of the page that says, well, there are some people that are sort of historical or real. So there is kind of that blend.
Everything in the book is real, except the story. So the people that my characters come in contact with were all real people.
So again, this is a book called The Storm Over Paris. If people want to find out more about it or what you're up to, where's a good place to get that?
They can find it on Amazon.com. They can go to Barnes & Noble or their local bookstores.
That's good. And the painting on the cover, what can you tell me about that?
The painting on the cover is a modified copy of Caravaggio's The Expulsion of Hagar. We had to make a couple of changes on it to match a description of it in the book.
And we appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.